Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today. If you are just joining us for the Playground series, we have been having a blast.
Yes, we have.
And today, you know, I thought, you know, what could we do to just step this up one more notch and make it just a little bit more fun than all of these weeks that we've already had that have been a blast? And I thought, you know, what else could I do than to have Captain EO over here, you know, come and join me? And we're going to do the message together today, if that's okay with you guys. Sweet. This is pretty exciting. We have people in the bleachers today.
Yay, people in the bleachers.
Isn't that exciting? It's a good day for the bleachers. The series that we're in called Playground, let me kind of catch you up to speed. If you haven't been with us up to now during this series, the Playground is the planet Earth. Basically, we're talking about throughout this series how God has given us this playground that we know as Earth, and we have so much time to make the most of the time that we have while we're on the playground. We've got to make the most of the time that we have while we're on the playground. And so, basically, we're all at recess because we're living. We're breathing. That means we're at recess right now. If you are living and breathing, you are at recess. God has you on the playground. Here's the question: what are you going to do with the time that you have at recess? That's what we're talking about. Today, we're talking about some cool stuff. We've talked about some cool stuff in the weeks past. We've talked about the seesaw and the merry-go-round. We talked about not falling into the merry-go-round of temptation and just giving into sin. We talked about that. And then we talked about how we've got to fight for a seat on the seesaw, which is sometimes very up and down. And we're talking a little bit about the up and down part of that today. But we've also talked about, do you remember?
Which part?
Any of it.
Any of it? Well, you know, last week we talked about dodgeball.
We did talk about dodgeball last
week. Which was my favorite, probably.
It's great. We picked teams. Anybody that was here that got picked for a team last week? Now, y'all are the popular people, okay? And that's what we illustrated last week. We illustrated that a lot of times, just like when we were at recess as kids, we would pick people to be on our teams if we got to be the team pack captain, or if you're like me, you never got to be the team captain, and you were like got to be like the referee. They wouldn't even pick you for a team. But basically we just talked about how a lot of times we pick relationships in our lives. We pick people that look like us, have houses like us, drive cars like us, and we're not just supposed to pick those people. And not only that, not only are we supposed to pick all different types of people to minister to, but God picks people for us and puts them in our life.
True that. And I'm so excited that you picked me for Bully Week.
Today we're talking about bullies.
I'm very excited about that.
Probably if John and I had actually grown up together, which we didn't, and there's probably a reason for that, and God knew
jail
a better
time.
Understanding than we did. But basically, if John and I had grown up together, John probably would have been the bully and probably would have kicked me in the face all the time.
No way.
Let's talk about the bully.
Let's do it.
Today we're going to talk about bullies. Did you know that you have bullies in your life? And let me preface this with, I want you to kind of come to a deeper understanding of bullies, if we have a deeper understanding of bullies, and come with me into getting out of the mindset that bullies are always people. Bullies are not always people. Sometimes bullies are circumstances that we fall into. Sometimes they're things that we can't help. It's just happened. It's just kind of the cards that we've been dealt in life. Those sometimes are the bullies that we have, and we have to overcome them.
Yeah, bullies are those things that when they try to impose their will on you or try to take something from you, maybe your chocolate milk money, especially that extra carton that made lunch so sweet.
You would have taken my money, wouldn't you?
Maybe. For extra chocolate milk, probably. But bullies, we all have those bullies in our lives, and those bullies sometimes for us, the basic idea of a bully is, and if you've ever experienced this, now when I was growing up, we had this bully on the playground. His name was Shane, and Shane was a bad dude. He had spent two fantastic years in kindergarten. Thus, in second grade, he was a good 2 years older than me. So
Of course he was.
Because I only spent 4 years in And so Shane was the playground bully. He often took my lunch money. See, he thought I'd be taking yours. There were people that took my lunch money.
Aww.
Thank you.
Aww.
It's true. I lost lunch money, to which my dad did not feel really all that sorry for me. But the thing was, And I don't really know why, because I was about the same height as him. He wasn't like, you know, just huge among us. But he would come, and I would be all excited about my extra chocolate milk. And then, boo. He took it. And a lot of times, I didn't even have to fight him for it. I mean, he just took it. He just walked up and go, give me your money. Okay. So these bullies in our lives, the thing is, they're not always people, though. They're not always people. Some of you have some things in your life that want to control you, take things from you, or kind of impose their own will on you. And so
let's talk about some bullies. Let's talk about some just bully principles real fast. And then we're going to get into some scripture. And I'm excited about that. Just right off the bat, we all have bullies in our life. One of the things that I think that a lot of times that we don't realize is a lot of times when we're in the middle of the situation, and you know what I'm talking about, if you're in one of these situations right now in life where something is bullying you in life, just about all the time, it's always actually seems bigger than it really is. You know what I'm talking about? I remember this girl when I was in elementary school.
This girl?
That I kept picking on, because I like would pick on everybody all the time.
And not much has changed.
And this girl just turned around, and I remember it was actually third grade, and class was over, and she sat in front of me, and of course I'd been like picking at the back of her head or something the whole time during class. And she stood up, and we stood up to get ready to go, and I did something else to her. I mean, it was just messing around or whatever. And she turned around, and she just flat out kung fu kicked me in the stomach. And I went, bam, I hit the ground, knocked the air out of me. I was like, what in the world is going on? I'm looking around, you know, and here's this girl, and she's like sitting. I was like, whoa, I ain't messing with her anymore. She wasn't that big, but she seemed big right then. A lot of times the bullies in our life, the things that are controlling what is happening in our life is usually happening, number one, because we're letting it control us. And those bullies are not as big as they seem. Right now, some of you may be going through a storm in your life, a trial, a tribulation, that just seems like it is just owning you. That it is everything that's happening in your life. And the truth is that's not true. It's not everything that's happening in your life. I had somebody, and let me give you this little something here. This is free. I had a youth worker years ago when I was a student minister stop me and say, Chris, how you doing? And she knew that I was doing bad. I had like broken up with a girlfriend and I was like being all Mr., you know, sourpuss down the dumps, depressed and the whole bit. And, you know, she saw this in me. She saw what's going on in my life. She said, Chris, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm fine. You know, and she's like, no, how are you really doing? And so I just like spilled it right there on some table in the office area at the church I was serving at. And she looked at me and she said, Chris, I know that what's going on right now in your life stinks. She said, but don't miss what God is doing around you. And she was right. God was doing all kinds of stuff in the student ministry that I was getting to serve in. And even in my life, God was blessing me and doing that. And I was being such a sourpuss, like, oh, girl, she left me, whatever. You know, I was being all of that. And it was keeping me from seeing what God was trying to do in my life. And a lot of times that's where we get with bullies. They get some control over us, mainly because we let them. Bullies are temporary.
Yeah,
they're gonna pass
forever.
There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Eventually, they get expelled or graduate or move to another school. They're always seeking to prey on the weak or what seems to be weak. And this is true for us. And let me put this into a biblical principle for you in the sense of Satan. Let me ask you, where does Satan attack you in your life? Does he attack you where you're strong? No. He attacks us where he knows that we are weak. He knows the things that we struggle with, the things that we have to fight against in our life, and he knows that if he can get us at those things, more than likely he can win sometimes.
And sometimes he doesn't even parade as a bully. We sort of have this little idea, you know, that Satan is this cute little dude in his red suit with his little pitchfork and his pointy tail and all that sort of thing. And scripture tells us some important principles about that. The Bible says that the devil can masquerade or pretend, dress up as an angel of light. So many times, you know, we picture these bullies in our mind and we see, you know, this big kid that is trying to beat up on people. But sometimes bullies in our lives can be somewhat attractive. I know this morning I got bullied.
The clock
bullied me first thing this morning.
Yeah.
Did the clock bully any of y'all this morning? None of y'all. That's fantastic.
They didn't stay up as late as we did.
They didn't stay up. I mean, the clock went off. I didn't want to get up. And the clock kept saying, get up. Eventually, the clock one.
I want to show y'all. Let's look at scripture here. The book of Daniel. If you've got a Bible with you, or we're going to shoot it on the screen if you don't. This is an awesome book. If you've never gotten to read through the book of Daniel, you need to read through the book of Daniel. And you want to talk about stuff that we go through. This is the deal. And today we're going to be talking about a passage of scripture that if you grew up in church at all, then you've heard this passage of scripture. Some of you didn't grow up in church. And it's kind of cool to know that we're getting to share this for the first time with you, and we're excited about that. But Daniel chapter 6, and it's in the Old Testament, and it's between some other Old Testament books.
That's a good description.
There's your pastor for you, being able to pull out what it's in between right off the top of his head. But Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 10. And let me kind of give you just a little background on what's happening here with Daniel. Daniel was like the man. He was like tight with God. He had a great relationship with the Lord. And folks knew this. Well, Daniel had been given some authority as one of these main guys to kind of hang out and make sure that people under the king were doing what they were supposed to do. Basically, he was, you know, kind of, you know, one-on-one, you know, right-hand man with the king. And his job was to make sure that the king's guys were doing what they were supposed to do. And if not, Daniel was supposed to hold them accountable and make sure they did what they were supposed to do. Well, Daniel, of course, was about to take on this office. And there were some guys that were kind of not real happy about this because they knew Daniel was going to do his job. They knew Daniel was really going to do what he was supposed to do. And so these guys are like, hey, let's bully this guy around. Let's go to the king. And so they go to the king and they're like, hey, king, man, you're the deal, king. You are the king of kings. He probably didn't say that, but anyway, you know, whatever they said, you know, basically kind of puffed up the king and said, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to pass a law that for the next, you know, month or so, that people don't pray or worship anybody but you, because you're the deal. And so what did the king do? King's like, well, thanks. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is what we should do. And so the king passed this. And so then we have what's about to take place in this passage of scripture. This gets passed. And in verse 10, this is what we find out what Daniel does. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about the royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? That was the deal. If anybody did this, they got thrown into the lion's den. We left that part out. You see where this is going. The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. In verse 13, it says, Then when they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Okay, we've got these guys being tattletales now. They kind of set the whole deal up. And they're like, okay, this is how we're going to get Daniel. And they knew that the only way that they would ever get Daniel is if somehow they got him for actually praying and worshiping God. And so that's what they did. And so, of course, they went and found Daniel doing this, and they go back to the king, and they're like, king, you know, here's the deal. Your boy Daniel, he's doing what you said not to do. And so we need to do something about that. Well, verse 14, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed because he's tight with Daniel. Daniel's one of his boys. He's greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. So we've got right here Daniel, who is struggling to know exactly what to do in the middle of doing exactly what he thinks he is supposed to do. Anybody been there? Have any of you ever found yourself in the middle of you knowing exactly this is what you're supposed to do, and in the middle of that you get thrown into the lion's den. Happens a lot to us at work. Happens a lot to us with relationships with people that we know. Gosh, it just happens like just random times in life at the car wash or at the store or whatever it is. We keep finding ourselves getting thrown into things that we had no intention to be involved with. In fact, if anything, sometimes we've tried to do everything that we possibly can to follow God, but then what happens? We still get thrown into the lion's den. Something winds up happening in our life that we weren't planning on, and we have to suffer from it.
And there's a spiritual principle that goes along with this. A lot of times, especially for some of you who may be trying to put your life back together, you're saying, you know what, I'm going to make an effort here. I'm going to try to improve some things and do some things better. Wherever God is at work, the devil is too. And that's always important to remember, because many times in our lives, our greatest defeats come on the heels of our greatest victories. And I know there have been times in my life when, you know, I get to that place and I realize, okay, I'm really kind of screwing up life here, and I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to do. And I get ready to, you know, whatever it is, be a better husband or be a better parent or just be a better kid of God and try to get my life back together and do things right. And so I start doing these things and I start taking the steps. And it's just like you said, I mean, before you know it, dude, I'm all of a sudden, I'm in this lion's den. And our initial response, of course, is, well, I didn't do anything.
I don't like lions.
Why'd you throw me in the lion's den? I was trying to do good. And, you know, and we let our circumstances begin to bully us. We look around, and one of the things I want to encourage you to do, and this was something my pastor growing up said, he said, rather than focusing on how big the problem is, focus on how big God is. And so many times we find ourselves in that lion's den. Can you imagine what it was like in the lion's den? I was thinking about this last night.
I'd be scared.
I mean, you get tossed in, and you're looking, and we're not talking about the cowardly lion off the Wizard of Oz.
It's probably not even the same lions they have at the zoo.
Yeah, it's not Madagascar.
I don't think so.
You're in there, and I would be in the corner. I would be balled up trying to pretend maybe I was a rock or something, trying not to breathe or make any noises or...
I'd probably throw rocks.
Would you? You would.
And probably get killed.
You would. You'd throw a rock or two. You probably would. Remember David? It's one of those things where, you know, we find ourselves in that lion's den. We find ourselves in these circumstances. And a lot of times we get into, and we're going to talk about this some, it's that fear. And it paralyzes us. I mean, I'm just picturing Daniel. They said they threw him in. So there's a little bit of force going behind this. You ever somebody like push you in front of people that you didn't want to talk to? We're getting ready for the holidays. And you know when you go home and you see Aunt Bessie and you see her like once a year and your parents are like, come say hi to Aunt Bessie. And she, you know, and you're one of those things and they're like going in for the double pinch. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, you're so cute. You know? And you're thrust into there and you're just like, and you're hoping she doesn't kiss you with that almost orange-red lipstick that she wears. You know what I'm talking about? Did your aunt ever wear that? Anyway, they're coming in. She smells like old furniture and baby powder, and she's right there on top of you, and you're like, oh. Well, a lot of times we get bullied like that. We find ourselves, we're thrown in this lion's den, and what we do is we just freeze. And we stay in this place, and we don't get to find the merry-go-round or the seesaw because we're all huddled up in the corner hoping that the lions don't see us, hoping that Aunt Bessie doesn't.
Somebody's Aunt Bessie's probably here today, and they're going, am I that Aunt Bessie right now? They're wondering that. They're thinking that. You know, fear is one of those things that cripples us. And Scripture talks about fear and talks about that the only thing that we have to fear is God himself. And I think a lot of times we let fear dictate who we're going to be and what we're going to do. Let me ask you this question right now. What is it in your life that's bullying you around? And if you need clarification as to what could be in your life that might possibly bully you around, let me ask you this question. What is in your life that is constantly causing you fear? What is causing you fear to the extent that it is keeping you from doing what God has called you while you are on the playground? Because that's what this is about today. This is about the time that we have on the playground and making sure that the bullies don't dictate whether or not we're going to run across the playground and play on the merry-go-round or the seesaw or whatever it is. We've got to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do, and that means overcoming bullies in our lives. Now, if you're like me, a lot of times when I have a bully in my life, I just want to crawl into a hole. But that is not what we can do. We have got to fight off the bullies in life. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we do throw rocks or we throw punches or anything, but it does mean that we overcome them. Because usually the bullies that we're dealing with are usually not physical bullies. They're usually not something like that, although sometimes they are. Sometimes it's a person at work that we just absolutely can't stand. You know what Scripture says to do with that person?
Uh-oh.
Now we've gone to meddling.
Yeah, you're preaching now.
You gotta love them. Doesn't that sound awesome? Somebody that you know hates your guts, and really deep down you kind of hate them too, you're really called to just love them. And so what would they do if you just start grabbing onto them when you go to work and just give them a big old hug? He's like, this is what we do at our church. My preacher told me to tell you that I'm going to give you a big hug, so here it comes. Just watch out. And just give them a bear hug. Don't even give them like the sissy hug. Give them like the real deal. And, you know, I mean, what would they do? What would they do if all of a sudden, no matter what they did, nothing made you mad? And instead, you just tried to be a friend, and you just tried to love them. That's an incredible witness.
Well, and one of the things that's important to remember is there are some things that we can control. We may not be able to control the bully coming up to us, but you know what? We can control our reactions.
Yes.
It's one of those things where everybody's going to react. And with my girls, we pray every morning, every night before we go to bed. And if they were here, I'd call them up and make them say it to you, and you could all just be amazed at how beautiful they are. But since they're not here, I'll just tell you. When we pray, one of the things that I include in their prayer is, and help us to show others that Jesus on the inside makes a difference on the outside. Folks, so many times, and I'm about to go Erwin McManus, so y'all better get fired up back there. Erwin McManus says the greatest enemy of Christianity is
Christians.
You know why we get a bad rap? Because we act like we have God in our lives and this is really going to impact us and it's going to make a difference. And then we find ourselves in the midst of, you know, we're at work and that person just sends that, you know, those people that know how to say just the right thing in the right way. It's not what they say, but it's how they say it and how they look at you. Girls are especially great at this. Women, you are awesome at this. I can tell you right now, my wife does not have to say, John, you're an idiot. She can just look at me and say something like, well, you know, I wish you had done this. I get the message. I'm a little slow, but I get the message. And so many times we find ourselves at work. We find ourselves in adversity. We find ourselves in this lion's den. And all these people are looking at us and they're going, okay, what are they going to do? And if they find us over in the corner huddled up or they find us running and screaming, they're like, well, boy, that's something I want in my life because it's making no difference. I'd do the same thing they would.
We don't see anything in this passage of Scripture about Daniel kicking and screaming or fussing and fighting or acting crazy. In fact, if anything, it's so amazing. I think it says so much about Daniel's character that these guys knew that they could entrap Daniel by getting a law passed that no one could be worshipped or prayed to except the king. They knew that he loved his God so much that he was going to live that out no matter what. Let me ask you this question. Do your friends and family know that about you? Do your friends and family know that you love God so much that no matter what happens in your life, you're going to worship and you're going to pray to your God and you're going to be faithful to him? Do they know that about you? I could only hope that they would know that about me. That is an ultimate test of character. And they knew that about Daniel. They trapped him that way. And then we see them take Daniel to the lion's den, and nothing is ever said about Daniel kicking, screaming, any of that stuff. He gets thrown in the den, and then what happens?
Well, he gets in there, and he's just camped out for the night. And probably a blue cloud comes down in there. I'm just kidding.
Verse 17, it says, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating or without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. The king was pretty messed up with this. Verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually," even the king knew this, "been able to rescue you from the lions?" Well, what happens to you when you are going through adversity? How do you act? What are the words that you use when bad things go on? You know what I'm talking about. I just saw some people out there go. We're all guilty of it. But I'll tell you what, the ultimate test of our commitment and our love to our God is when in the middle of those situations in life, when we're being thrown into the fire, the reaction that we have. You know, people are looking at you. People are checking you out. They're wondering. They know that you go to church. They heard you go to that crazy church that meets in the school or whatever. And they're saying to themselves, "I'm going to watch what happens to him right here. Or I'm going to watch and see what she does when this happens. I know that this woman's about to just chew her out." Our reaction is oftentimes the most incredible witness that we possess. So much better than a Romans Road or a Faith Outline or whatever it is that you think you've got under your belt. I'm telling you, you can blow it all in moments like this. Let's find out what happens to Daniel. You want to?
Let's do it.
Verse 21, after the king called out to Daniel, "Servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, verse 21, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done anything wrong before you." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. You know what happens so many times when we get bullied by something while we're on the playground? We let that thing just freak us out. We let the fear that comes from that thing strike us in such a way that it keeps us from doing the very things that God wants us to do, which is what? Trusting in him. God wants us to trust him. He especially wants us to trust him in times like this in our life. I'm telling you, right now, some of you probably right now are going through something in your life that you could honestly come to me and you could tell me a heart-wrenching story of something that you're having to deal with that is just tearing you apart. I'm here to tell you today that God wants you to trust in him. He wants you to know that he's still sovereign, he's still on his throne, he's still in charge. And our problems, sometimes very big, are no match for him. You know, I'm looking forward to, I already enjoy being a part of a church that prays in such a way that we believe God still can move mountains. I have seen our church get down on our knees and say, "God, we don't have any money. We don't have the resources, but we need this to happen right now for us to be able to further in ministry," and then boom, God provides. Phone call the next day, right after we prayed together as a church. I've seen that kind of stuff happen so much since we have seen 24 Church begin. I've got to tell you, for a generation that I think that exists out there that will come back to believing that childlike faith, the childlike faith that we see all through Scripture, if we can believe that God still moves mountains, and not only believe it, but that we'll pray in that way, I'm telling you what, you better get out of the way. Because God will run over anything that gets in his way when he has been given the okay to do incredible, amazing things. Because you know what? God likes to show his power.
Yeah, he does.
He likes for us to see how awesome and how mighty he is. But you know what's happened in our lives? A lot of times we have begun to take things in our own hands and begin to believe, well, you know, God really doesn't care about this. Or God doesn't, you know, this is not a big deal to him. I don't need to pray about this. So let me tell you something. God wants to have a relationship with you. And the truth is the people that are closest with you in your life, when you're going through storms and trials and tribulations, what do? You share that stuff with them because they're your friends, because they're your family. They're people that love you. And God wants to have a close relationship with you. He wants you to share with him what is going on in your life. And not only that, but he wants to, and we can, and this is what we do. We take God out of the equation. And you say, there's no way that that's going to ever happen. Or there's no way that I have people ask me all the time, Chris, our church is growing, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. You know, what are we going to do about a building? I say, I don't know. We have one to meet in right now. God has provided this point for us to be right here. And sometimes we can't see a year in advance or 2 years in advance or 3 years in advance. There stands a possibility because of something the school board passed that we may not be able to meet here but one more year. And what are we going to do? There's not a building in Pleasant View that could hardly hold us except maybe another school building. God, we've got to know that he is going to make a way and he's going to provide. And in the middle of that, we've got to do everything that we can to be obedient on his playground.
The amazing thing to me that always just really messes with my mind is we get caught off guard. A lot of these bullies spring up in your life and you didn't see them coming. Some of you you may have lost a job. You may have someone in your family close to you be ill. There may be some circumstances that you didn't see coming, and now you're paralyzed and you're like, I don't know what to do. The amazing thing is, and you haven't gotten to the place where you've started this relationship with God, which I know sounds like this crazy thing that's almost impossible. It is possible. And when you establish that relationship, there is a peace and a calm, the foundation that even though I didn't see it coming, a God who is not limited by space and time saw it and is more than able to handle it. So many times on this playground, we find ourselves getting bullied and we just back into the corner. We just start kind of hiding. We'll even try to get behind somebody else and kind of trust them rather than trusting God. We'll back ourselves into a corner till we just keep everybody away from us because we're afraid that all of them are bullies and all of them are going to hurt us. And we find ourselves in this place kind of balled up, afraid, and alone. And the thing that still blows my mind is that the God who created everything that you see and that you know is extending his hand and saying, you know what? You don't have to do this by yourself. And Daniel was getting to be a veteran at this bully thing. This is the third king that Daniel is under. Daniel's already been dragged out of his homeland. He's already had 3 kids tossed in a barbecue pit and live. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on in his life. So it's like, Daniel, you're going in the lion's den. Okay. God has done things before. God will do things again. And he said it, and it's exactly what Chris is talking about. You got to get to that place, though, where you say, you know what? I trust him. And it doesn't matter if I'm in the lion's den or if I'm in charge of the satraps and the administrators and out in front and everybody excited about me. I trust him. The most important thing you'll do when you walk out of this place today is have gotten to the place either where for the first time you say, well, I'm ready to trust him for the first time. Or if you're in the middle of getting bullied and you're huddled in the corner to say, all right, I trust you. We can make it through the lion's den. We'll be all right.
Don't let the circumstances in your life bully you around. I know sometimes those circumstances may stink. And I'll be honest with you, I can't look at you today and say I know exactly how you feel and what you're going through with some of the circumstances that you may be in or that you've had to deal with in the past. But the truth is that God wants you to be able to live an incredible life, a life that's one that you can't plan for yourself, so incredible that you just have no idea what is out there until you follow him. And I just encourage you, trust in him. If you've never given your heart to Christ, In just a minute, I'm going to be hanging out in the hallway. The band's going to go ahead and be coming up. And I'm going to go out in the hallway and be hanging out there in case there's someone here that would like to come and talk about what it means to know Christ as your personal Savior. I would love to get to just pray with you, talk with you for a few minutes. John will probably be back there too. Please come talk to us. No pressure here. We just want to get to talk and answer questions and that kind of thing about you and your relationship with the Lord or the lack thereof. We'll be right out there. The band's going to begin to play. The usher's going to be coming. Let's pray and ask God to work in the lives of these people that may not know Him today. Let's pray together. God, we thank You so much, Lord, for showing us, Lord, who You are through Your Word. God, we thank You for letting us see just a little piece of Your power, of letting us see just a little piece of what You can do in one person's life like Daniel. God, I know a lot of times we want to remove ourselves from Scripture and say, oh, well, that's what happened in Scripture. But God, the truth is that can happen in our life. There's someone here today that's in the lion's den or someone that maybe just came out of it. God, I just pray, Lord, that You would give them a peace, Lord, that they could have in their heart, God, if they would just trust in You. Father, for the people that bully us in life, God, I pray, Lord, that we, God, that we would love them, that we would embrace them. And God, for those that are here today, God, that don't know You, that have never given their heart to You, never given their life to You, God, I just pray, Lord, that if there's one person here today, God, if there's 10 people here today, God, that they'll all just come out in the hall and just hang out with us and get to talk for just a few minutes and let us pray with them. God, we want nothing more than to lead people to a relationship of knowing You and growing in who You are and who You can be in their life. God, so many Christians have just completely missed it and they think it's about going to church. But God, I just pray, Lord, that You would just reveal to their hearts right now that that's not what it's about. It's about a relationship. And God, You want to grow us in our relationships. God, You want us to grow in our relationship with You more than anything. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one person here that doesn't have a relationship with You today, God, that they would seek out somebody. Lord, if it's not us in the hall, somebody before they leave here today.